I'm Daniel Chacon. Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire. We have a very exciting show for you today. Very exciting for me personally, but also should be exciting for the writing community because we're going to talk to the publishers of a brand new press. The name of the press is Velis Books, and they're coming out with some really wonderful, beautiful titles, including a book by a former student of mine named Paul Pedrosa. His book is called The Dead Will Rise and Save Us. And also another book by a colleague of mine named Jeff Serkin, a book of poems. It's a brand new publishing company. I'm holding one of the books in my hand, and it looks really, really beautiful, very professional. I have the publishers today. I have in the studio Minerva Laveaga. Minerva is a professor, assistant professor at El Paso Community College, and she is a former student here at UTEP. She graduated with her MFA in creative writing. And I'm also talking with Lau Cesarco Eglin, and she is calling us from Boulder, Colorado. Lau, you might be familiar with her. If you go into our archives, you might find the show that we taped with her. She is a poet, a fantastic poet, and we had her on the show when one of her books came out. What was the name of the book?
I don't remember if we talked about my first book, Llamar al Agua por su Nombre, or my second book, Sastrería, but now I have a third book.
Lau is also a graduate of the MFA program here at UTEP, which is one of the reasons why I'm so excited about this show. Not only have you guys been doing wonderful work in poetry and publishing, and Minerva, your work with Border Senses and the community and the Migrant Project, that writing project you've been doing for years is just really enhanced the literary culture of the community. But now you're doing this. You're getting together and you're publishing books. And this is just very, very exciting, like I said, for me personally, because I think I've had both of you in classes, and I think I'm probably partly responsible for all your success.
No. For sure.
First of all, let me say, you know, welcome to Words on a Wire. I think this is the first time you've been on the show.
Yes,
Minerva.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Yes.
Thank you for having us here.
And you were a fiction writer. I remember I had you in one of my fiction seminars. Are you still writing?
Yes, I'm still writing. I'm working in on a collection of short stories, and I'm trying to, you know, balance that with teaching and everything else.
It's tough. It's tough. When do you write?
I'm starting to get very good at discipline myself to write early in the morning.
Good, so that's the best time. Yeah. Everything's quiet.
Everything's quiet. Yeah.
And you haven't used language all day, you know. And
nice.
So, and that's wonderful. When you came to El Paso, you came from Mexico, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. I'm originally from Durango, Mexico.
That's right.
And I came to El Paso to do my bachelor's in philosophy here at UTEP, and then I did the MFA in creative writing.
Right. And then you started working with Border Senses, and you became the editor of the Border Senses Journal at first, but then you started to take on community projects. Can you tell us just briefly a little bit about that?
Yes, yes. So first, I was the project director of Memorias del Silencio, which is a project still ongoing, and now Daniel Rios is the director
also
of the project.
Also a former MFA
Yeah,
student.
He's great. And that's a project that offers creative writing workshops to migrant farm workers' communities. And then we published their work. And then I had the opportunity to serve as director of Border Senses for a couple of years. And I'm involved now as part of the board of directors. So and teaching at EPCC.
And Border Senses has really changed the literary landscape of this area and also just nationally. I can't tell you how many books of poems that I pick up by just the greatest new poets in the United States. And you know how they have the credits of where the poems have been published? Border Senses just appears so many times. It's such an important journal, and you've done a lot of great work with that. And Lau, I don't mean to flatter you here, but you know, I remember when you were a student, I thought, man, this woman is a genius. What do you speak? You speak like, what, 20 languages, and you have a degree in everything. And I remember one time when you were a grad student here, somebody needed a Portuguese or Italian class to be covered in the language and linguistics department, and they asked you to do it. How many languages do you speak?
Four. Just four, not 20. I wish I spoke 20.
Well, I'm sorry. Four is not enough. I take that genius label back. You speak English flawlessly, Spanish. You're from Uruguay, and so I suppose Spanish is maybe your native language, but
yes.
You also speak Hebrew and
Portuguese.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How did you grow up learning so many different languages?
I wish I was that kind of genius, but I'm not. It was more of circumstances that led me to learn these languages. Well, Spanish because I was born and raised in Uruguay. English because my family and I moved to Rochester, New York for 2 years and two crucial years, right? From I was in first grade to third grade. So I learned English. And then Portuguese, I don't know. I was in Israel with a group of people from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and I was the only Spanish speaker, so I had no other choice but to learn Portuguese. But let me tell you, I fell in love with that language. Hebrew, because I lived in Israel for 9 years. Yeah,
you've been all over the world. And then you came to El Paso, you got your MFA here, and you were, I just remember your poetry was so beautiful even back then. And
thank you.
And I think we shared an affinity for Argentinian poet.
Yes. Pizarnik.
Yes, Alejandra Pizarnik. And you and I have even talked about translating some of her work. We never got around to it, but you have been busy. You've gotten a PhD?
I'm working on a PhD, and I'm hopefully graduating this May.
So you're working on a PhD. You came out with 3 books of poems. And what else have you been doing? That's not enough.
I'm tired already from that only. I also have a chapbook that recently came out, and it's the first collection in English that I wrote originally in English.
Wow.
Which I'm very happy about. And I've been translating a lot, and thankfully publishing some of it.
Wow.
And, well, Ready's Books is a huge project.
Yeah. I'm going to get to that.
I'm teaching as well.
I think 2 summers ago, I was walking around London with my Spanish friend, and we were walking, I think it was on Oxford, you know, huge street with all these department stores, and suddenly I just run into you. There you are, standing there. I hadn't seen you since El Paso, but there you were, standing right there in London. It was very, very strange to see you there. But in some weird sense, when I saw you and you saw me, it was just kind of like very casual. Oh, hey, you know, like it was a normal thing, which I guess reality could be that way. But the reason why I'm asking you guys what you've been doing is because I just am so amazed that with everything you've been doing, Minerva, and everything you've been doing, Lau, that you had time and the energy and the compulsion to start Velis Books, this new publication company. Why? Why did you want to do that? And how did you even find the time?
Well, how we found the time, it's because of passion, right? I mean, this is a project that we've been thinking about for years, and we're very passionate about it, and that's how we find the time. In the same way that Minerva was saying that she has to find the time to write, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we have to make time for those things that we love.
Right.
And this is a project that we are passionate about, but also it's very important to us because it means creating a community and being able to give a space for writers that we love and for work that we love.
And we happened to work briefly, Border Senses, together a few years back when I was doing the Memorias Project and Lau was the chief editor of the journal. Mm. And I guess in a way it all started then.
You guys just found you can work well together.
Yes, it's great to work with Lau, and fortunately we work very well together. So we kind of have the same, we like some and most of the same authors. Like the authors that we're publishing, we're both very excited about. Yeah. We have same common aesthetics, and so that works nicely for us.
Lau, you said something about if you are passionate about something, you're going to have time or you're going to make time, and I think that's completely correct. I don't think you're ever going to hear a writer say, "I wish I had more time to write." I think writers write, period. They will find a way to write. Here you are getting a PhD, traveling all around the world, teaching, and you know, you came out with 3 books in the last several years. You find the time. Why is it important for you to put all this energy into another publishing company? Aren't there enough out there?
Believe me, they're not. Last year I went to the AWP, and I think it was a turning point in the history of in the creation of Velis, in the sense that I came back and I told Minerva, there were 15,000 people all of them pitching a book, all of them wanting to have a book published, and that despite the fact that the book fair is enormous with tables and tables full of publishers advertising their books and there for you to speak with the editors. So I'm like, no, there is obviously enough space for yet another publishing company. So let's get started. And we did.
Wow. I think one of the last statistics that I encountered, and this was years ago, so I'm sure the number is much larger by now, that there's like over 100,000 books a year published in the United States. What is the importance of 100,002 or 100,004 or 100,006, however many you're going to publish every year?
I think that the books that we are set out to publish address a specific aesthetic in that it is multicultural. And in that sense, we want to include, and that's partly the reason for the name of the press, is this idea of travel. And Belize is the word that my grandmother used to use for what we now call maletas in Spanish.
Right. Probably etymologically linked to the word valise in English.
Right? Yes, yeah. I'm sure.
A bag that you carry, you travel with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's like that old beat-up bag that has gone many places in spite of difficulties. And that's the concept that we have. We want to publish books that will travel. And so we want the work of Paul, for example, to travel beyond the border and to be known. And we think, of course, that it's very, very important work, and as is the case with all of our authors. And the third book that we're publishing this year is a book of translation by Laura Chalar, and it's a collection of Uruguayan poets. And so we want those works also not only to be translated, because that's just the first step, but to be known.
Wow. That's really exciting.
Yes, we're very excited about the three that we're publishing this first year.
You know, and Lau, the point you bring up about AWP, it really resonates with me, because you're saying that there's like, you know, something like 12, 15,000 writers there, and they all want books. And probably out of the 12, 15,000, half of them are amazing writers. You know, and half of them have graduated from MFA programs, and half of them are putting together these amazing works. And what percentage of those are getting published with the conventional publishing houses, right? I mean, you just can't publish everything. And even though there might be 100,000 books published a year in the United States or more, the fact is most of those books aren't poetry. And most of those books aren't short stories and translations of poetry. And so what you're doing, yeah, definitely seems to be addressing a kind of book that creative writing community especially should be pretty excited about it.
Right. And we think that those 15,000 people are also readers. And,
absolutely.
And in that sense, then we're set out to create these communities in which the literary community supports each other, and we honor the work of all of those authors who are doing amazing things, and we want to share that, and we want readers to be writers and writers to be readers, and in that way create a communication that we think will enhance everybody's experience of literature.
Like creating a press and having a press and publishing these books is also in part not just a passion of ours, but also a responsibility. I mean, suddenly we're not just readers and we're not just writers or poets. We're also doing something else to help the community. Like, we've become agents in a different way. Agents, I mean, as in entities, right?
Right, absolutely.
Of a different kind. And I think that that's important, too. It's like, how do you give back to this community? How do you participate fully in this community? And this is our way of doing it. And also another thing that I was thinking about when you said, like, what's the difference of 100,000 books published and 103,000? Well, the difference, I think, is like when we read these books for the first time, when they were in manuscript form, our books, we absolutely thought this has to get published. We love this. And that's when you realize that, yeah, there's not enough publishing houses. I mean, this book has to be out there. People have to read it. It's amazing.
I think that if you were to gather together everybody who is a writer and wanted to be a writer or someday dreams about being a writer, you would have more than half the population. So many people want to be writers. And yeah, there's a need put those writers out there. I'm talking to Minerva Laveaga and Lau Cesarco Eglin. They are publishers of a new press called Velis Books, and they just came out with their first title. I'm holding it in my hand. It's called The Dead Will Rise and Save Us, and it's stories by Paul Pedrosa. Let me give a little background on this, too, by the way. Paul Pedrosa, like I said, he was a student here at UTEP as an undergraduate. He was in several of my classes, but he went off to Indiana, I think, and got his MFA. Yes. And now he teaches at Las Cruces at New Mexico State University. He had this book. He's had it for years. It's a very good book. I've read it several times. I read early drafts. And he got a publisher. But that publisher kept stalling and kept stalling. And I know the publisher, I won't say their names, but quite frankly, I look at this book that you guys put out, it looks like it could have been done by a New York trade press. It is so professional looking. And you look at the publisher that he did have, and their books look really amateurish with really big, silly fonts. And this just looks so good. How did you guys get the experience to put together even the layout a book like this?
Well, I think that we have been very fortunate in our professional experiences. Maybe for me, at least, starting with Border Senses and producing all of those books that we have published for Memorias and the Journal. But we have also been incredibly fortunate to be part of a community here in El Paso and beyond of artists. So the cover for Paul Pedrosa's book is a photograph by Federico Villalba.
Yes, I know his work very well. He's a local photographer, and he does amazing street photography.
He's amazing, right. And then we're also working with another MFA graduate, Silvana Ayala,
Silvana. She was my TA for many years.
And she's awesome at design. And then with an artist from Durango, Gerardo Cedeño, who's also helped us. So we're just very fortunate to be part of a community, not only of writers, but of artists who are supporting and collaborating with us. The cover for Jeff Sirkin's book is a painting by Jennifer Hill, who's also a local artist here in El Paso. And Raquel Barbosa did the work for the book translation by Laura Chalar. So I think that we're just very fortunate to have this community of artists that are invested in quality art and that work with us.
I'm not going to be as modest as Minerva, and I'm going to say that Minerva especially, and me as well, we have experience with editing. She was in Border Senses, in various qualities in Border Senses, in various roles, and I worked also in the Rio Grande Review and then in Border Senses as well. For a little while, my first job as a TA at El Paso was to help Rosa with Noemi Press. So I think that also chips in a little bit to our advantage.
I don't know who designed this cover. Who
Silvana.
Did? Silvana. Silvana. Okay, she's also a brilliant woman. And she's got such a sense of aesthetic. You know, she's a great writer as well. And maybe someday you'll publish one of her collections because it deserves to be out there.
Absolutely.
I was on her thesis committee, and she's fantastic. But you have all this talent. You have all this experience working for you, but the fact is, the book I'm holding in my hand, it must have cost some money. It must have cost a lot of money. What do you expect or what do you hope for in terms of return? Do you want the books to pay for themselves?
Well, you know, one of the things that got us started was also thinking as writers. And we have both been fortunate to have our work published in a variety of forums. And so we always remember that and think, what would we like as authors?
Oh, that's nice.
You know, like if this was my book, how would I want it to look? And so that's one of the basic principles of Belize, is that we want, first and foremost, to honor the work of our authors. And we think like writers, because we both are. And Lau is a poet, and I write fiction. But we have some common ideas of how we envision our books to look like. And that's our first priority. And so that's where we start. And then how are we going to get the return of this book? Well, we'll figure it out.
Nice.
But we
will. Jump in first.
Yeah, we will. I know we will, because the work speaks for itself. So we know that these authors are going to move. This work is going to move because readers are going. I mean, the moment you start reading Paul's book, people are going to get hooked. And we know that. and we trust the work of the author. So
right. And one of the realities of publishing short fiction and poetry and even novels, you know, that are literary and that have the kind of depth that Pedrosa's book has, is the authors need to get out there and they need to do readings and they need to push their book. How many copies of this are you putting out? What is the first run?
300.
300. They'll probably sell immediately. At least I hope so.
Yeah.
When you choose writers, do you encourage them to get out there? And is that part of the criteria for who you would publish? You know, do you specifically choose or encourage writers who you know are going to get off their butts and promote their work?
I think that our first priority is their work,
right,
and to have quality work. And then more than pushing them to get out there, we want to hope to find a way to collaborate with them so that we can find these opportunities together,
right,
alongside them. But so far we're very fortunate because they happen to be members of the community who are very active. So
right,
so
right.
Far it's working out very nicely.
Yeah, and you have to. Whether you're being published by Random House or whether you're being published by Velis Books, you have to, as a writer, go out there and represent your work because there are so many books out there that if people aren't exposed to it, they're not going to know about it. What kind of promotion do you see yourself doing for either this title or your publication company in general? I mean, obviously, we hope that this really helps. And people can go to your webpage, velisbooks.com. That's V-E-L-I-Z books.com. And you can see the three titles that you're coming out with. But what kind of promotion are you going to do?
So we're planning book release events for each of our authors. We're also committed to going to at least two book fairs every year. And this year, we'll be going to the AWP in March.
Great. We'll see you there. Do you have a table?
Yeah, we do.
Nice, nice. Are you sharing it with anybody, or is it all Velis?
It's all Velis, and we'll have book signings with both Paul and Jeff.
Nice, nice. That's great.
Yeah.
It's in Los Angeles this year. Should be thousands and thousands of people.
And Laura Chalar, she is Uruguayan, but she lives in Buenos Aires. I'm going to help her organize readings in both Buenos Aires and Montevideo.
Yeah. A lot of the independent presses go with the consortium, which, you know, is a press distribution. Do you plan on ultimately joining the consortium, or how do you plan on distributing your books?
Yes, we will eventually join the consortium, and we will look into other distribution companies. We want to get started this year first to create. Mm-hmm. It shows that we're moving and that it's going to be a consolidated press. But for now, one of the, again, going back to the idea of community, we already have one class this semester who will be using Paul's book in El Paso Community College for a Chicano
Great.
Class with Professor Rich Yanez. So the community is also
right.
invested in supporting these authors, and we're just fortunate to be a part of it.
If our listeners, if they were interested in submitting a book proposal, how would they go about it?
We have an open reading period, which goes from May 7th to August 15th every year. And through our website, they can go on to submit their manuscript to us.
Are you on Amazon yet?
No,
not yet.
And when will you be?
I'm not sure because, as you know, Amazon is a tricky business. it's a decision that we still are pondering on.
Right, right.
So for now, the best way to buy our books is through our website.
You mentioned Jeff Serkin, the book coming out. It's called Travelers and Society, and I'm looking at the picture of it online. It really is a beautiful book. You guys are doing such a good job with these, just the way they look. Tell us about how this book came about. Jeff is a professor here at the University of Texas in El Paso. Tell us how this book came about.
Well, we both know Jeff from the MFA, and I took a few of his classes, and I had read some of his work when it came out in different literary journals. I specifically remember one day when I was at his and Rosa Alcala's house, and I don't know, I think it came by mail, but and he had gone out to the mail. He got the mail, and he brought a copy of Puerto del Sol, the magazine from New Mexico. That Carmen Jimenez Smith runs, and that's the first time that I had read his work. Like, I knew him as a teacher, as a as an academic, but I had never read his work, and I read that work, and I'm like, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And when we were thinking with Minerva, names that we'd like, of authors that we'd like to publish, Jeff Sterkin was one of the first names that popped up.
Wow, yeah, and he is a fantastic poet.
Yes, he's amazing, and both Minerva and I had the same experience of when we read his manuscript, we thought, this is perfect. I mean, it's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
I can't stress this enough. I love that book.
With his book and with Pedrosa's book, I don't know the work of the Uruguayan poet, but with these two books, I think your reputation is going to immediately be more than legitimate. It's going to be an important voice in literary culture. And so congratulations on this new publication company. It's called Veliz Books. Go to velizbooks.com and check it out. And we will have Paul Pedrosa on the show to talk about his book, The Dead Will Rise and Save Us. And, of course, I will invite Jeff Sterkin, my colleague here in the Creative Writing Program, to talk about his book as well. Maybe we can close with reading a poem from either Jeff Sterkin or from the Uruguayan poet. Would you be able to read something?
Let's read one by Jeff Sterkin, because it's the book that's almost out right now.
That makes sense.
This is a poem from Jeff Sterkin's book, Travelers Aid Society, and it's called Things Familiar. There's a start to every night, and sometimes there's an end, when dutifully the sun reappears to confront our desires, or whatever object passes for desire in this era of refugees and holes in the earth. In this Normandy of emergency appropriations and software security protocols, gaps of time and space and memory tensioning their way through invisible mechanisms known only to the coming rain, in some other world that Bing Crosby made real, magnets cheating the distance, the piano come undone by the smoke of a forgotten fire or the sooty underside of the rain cloud over the mountain, and each new song arrives daily in our inbox like a channelized river, a cool slate, blue peeking out from under the Martian red of the title screen.
That was a poem by Jeff Sterkin, whose new book is coming out with a very new press, Veliz Books. And I'm at your homepage right now, velizbooks.com. I'm just really amazed, and I think you guys are going to have some great success with this.
Thank you.
With this company.
Thank you.
And we'll continue to have your authors on our show.
We'll love that. Thank you very much for the support.
I'd like to thank Minerva Laveaga and Lau Cesarco Eglin, publishers of Veliz Books, for joining us on Words on a Wire. I'm Daniel Chacon. We'll see you next week.